Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of the CS Podcast presented by the NUC NFL Draft Bible. Can't stop, won't stop. Check us out, NFLDraftBible.com, for a 30-day free trial. Use the promo code DRAFT2016 again for a 30-day free trial. Get it for free, 30 days. Use the promo code DRAFT2016. As always, I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. And ladies and gentlemen, we are just 5 days away from the kickoff to the FCS football season as Charleston Southern takes on the not one, not two, not three, not four, but five-time defending FCS national champion North Dakota State Bison, with Easton Stick now taking over at quarterback over there for the Bison, with, of course, Brock Jensen being a few years removed, Carson Wentz being the number two overall pick in last year's NFL draft. Now it's Easton Stick's turn to take over for the Bison, and we've seen a little bit of what he could do last season with Wentz out with the injury to his wrist. It's really the best time of the year, and yes, we will be focusing on the FCS, as this afternoon we're going to be talking Illinois State Redbirds football. And joining the show now to help me do that is Zach Carpenter. And Zach's an Illinois State graduate, a former sports editor over at the Vedette, and now he's a fantasy football analyst for FantasyAlarm.com and an NFL staff writer at EndZoneScore.com. You can follow Zach on Twitter at ZCarp11. Thanks for dialing in, Zach. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Christian. Been a big fan for a long time, and I think, like you said, it's been a long time coming, and you're absolutely right. This is the absolute best time of year. It's the kickoff of college football and the NFL, so I'm excited to get going and talk some ISU and FCS football.
Oh, absolutely, man, and let's get right into it. I mean, we'll start off by talking about the head man over there at Illinois State, and that's Brock Back. I mean, he's certainly up there when you talk about the top head coaches in the FCS. I mean, his name certainly comes up, and again, it's one of the first names to come up when you talk about the top head coaches in the FCS. Being around the team like you have been, Zach, I mean, what are your impressions when it comes to Speck, and why do you think he's been able to steer the Redbirds into the right direction?
Well, I think everybody believes in the Speck stash. Honestly, everyone in that locker room truly looks up to him. Brock Speck truly owns that locker room. He just knows how to motivate all the guys. They listen to him. They respect him. He's coached legends such as Drew Brees at Purdue. So everyone in that program knows he has the pedigree to truly take them to new heights. I mean, he gets multi-talented players from all types of FBS programs, whether it's Texas Tech, Indiana, to transfer over to an FCS school like ISU and give them a fresh start. He has truly turned the program around. He's 56-29 in his 7 years, other than one little minor hiccup a couple years ago where they finished 5-6. They've finished above 500 every year, three playoff appearances, two MVC titles, including the first national title game appearance in school history. So he truly knows his stuff, and I think that's where players truly respect him the most, is that they know they're going to have a guy who's going to have their backs, but also he's a no-holds-barred. He's the kind of coach. I mean, we've seen it in the past where guys have screwed up. They get one or two chances to screw up before getting kind of the boot, you would say. But he's going to have a firm foot down on his program, and he has the pulse of his team at all times. So he's really a guy who's not going to mess around, but he also knows how to strike that balance with his players. And I wouldn't be surprised in a couple years to see him leave to an FBS program. I know the Purdue job is kind of like his dream job, so he has that FBS quality to him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you, and I was actually just about to say the same thing. I mean, being from Purdue, obviously, I believe he was the offensive coordinator there at one point, like you said, back when Drew Brees was quarterbacking over there. You know, and you would, like you said, it's probably his dream job. It's his alma mater, and obviously with how things are going over there at Purdue, at least how it has been going over there at Purdue. I mean, things have been pretty rough, so that job is constantly opening up. And you got to think Illinois State, you know, every time that job opens up, you got to think they're a little bit nervous each and every time. And to be honest, I actually thought he would have been a great coach to move up and maybe go to the Big Ten when Illinois had their coaching spot open for a little bit there. Obviously now Lovie Smith being over there. Now I'm not sure if you caught any of it or not, Zach, but last week was the premiere of the Illinois State docuseries titled The Next Step on Comcast Sportsnet here in Chicago. And at one point in the show, Coach Speck said that this team has it. And he didn't know exactly how to describe it, but it sounds like it's a good thing. Now, there's awfully a lot of turnover at key positions there at Illinois State. Do you believe him when he says that, or that the team has it, the it factor, or is that more of something that he just has to say before this season, whether or not he actually feels that way?
First of all, no, I have not had the time to sit down and watch it, but I plan on sitting down either today or tomorrow to start watching it. And I agree with Spac. I'm not totally sure what it is either, but if he's talking about that toughness and experience, then I think, yes, they have that in droves. You see it every day on the practice field last year in every game. If they get knocked down, they're getting right back up again. And they have that next man up mentality that every team says they have, but this team truly has it. Anytime you see a player that goes down, especially last year, Trey went down and then it was next man up mentality, and they really don't miss a beat if there's a key injury, and obviously injuries are a huge part of the game. They're inevitable. I think they have that get knocked down, but get back up again, you know, type of mentality. And as for the turnover, at least on offense, I don't know about defense. Defense, they lost just about every key player at each position that you can imagine. On offense, they only lost two players, but of course, those two players happen to be two of the best in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Let's pick it up from right there. I mean, let's talk about some of this turnover and who some of the next guys are to step up with the Redbirds, starting with the offense. Like you said, I mean, there's going to be a new quarterback, a new running back, and there's some big shoes to fill as Trey Roberson and Marshawn Copperidge were both All-Americans there at Illinois State. They've now moved on to the NFL. But now we have Jake Colby and Jamal Towns at quarterback and running back. How confident are you in Colby and Towns coming in and having to replace a ton of production that you just knew you were going to get week in and week out with Roberson and Copperidge controlling the offense?
Well, as you said, those two, Trey and Marshawn, were two of the best players in the country, All-Americans. Marshawn, two-time offensive player of the year in the conference. It's going to be hard, don't get me wrong. It's going to be very hard to replace those two guys. They did things that really don't show up in the stat sheet. They were able to extend plays, and if someone, whether an offensive lineman or a receiver, might make a minor mistake on a play, they could cover those up with their playmaking ability and kind of their versatility, improvisation. But when it comes to Jake Colby replacing Trey, I absolutely think that he can fill those shoes. I've been on record saying it since last spring, actually, before the year even started, that I think Jake Colby is going to end up being the second best quarterback in ISU history, at least statistically wise, behind Matt Brown. I think he is that talented. He just has a feel for the game. He is obviously a completely different player than Trey is. He's not nearly the athlete Trey is. He's not nearly the runner, but I think that while Colby can run, he's a much better pocket quarterback. And I think that's going to show up from day one, where they're going to start, I wouldn't say an air raid offense, but they're definitely going to start going towards the pass a lot more than they have in the past, because their running game has been their identity since forever. And I think that's going to change a lot this year. And you got to see a little bit of a snapshot of Colby last year, especially in the Northern Iowa game, where Trey broke his thumb a couple days before the game, and Colby was kind of thrown into the fire a little bit. And he had an okay game. He didn't perform that great, but I think that can be attributed to three things. One, the short week. He didn't have a lot of time to prepare, and he didn't really get too much of a comfort level because the ISU coaching staff kept throwing Trey in at quarterback basically as a decoy, and Colby never really got his feet under him, and he couldn't really get comfortable. So there was the two factors of it was a short week, and he couldn't get comfortable. And third, you and I was just flat out good. They had a great defense last year. So that was just the little snapshot of Colby last year under center. But now he's gotten a whole offseason, a whole training camp under his belt where he's the guy. He's being given the keys to the car. So I think you might have some growing pains. It might take two or three games to see him get to that comfort level to where he can take over. But I think eventually, absolutely, he will be able to fill Trey's shoes. But as far as Jamal Towns, I'm not sure. I hate to say it because Jamal's a really good kid, but I don't really believe that he's the long-term answer at running back. I think he's more of a third down, change of pace type of running back to where if the offense can get the screen game, the passing game running, I think he's perfect as a pass catcher or even a slot receiver. But as far as being an every down between the tackles back, I really don't think Jamal Towns is the answer. But if you're looking for more of a between the tackles guy who can get the ball more often, I think George Marrera is a guy who has potential to be a stud, but I would not put him on Marshawn Coppedge levels just yet. I think we need to hold off on that. But he is a redshirt sophomore, and I think he has all the talent in the world. He showed that in limited time last year. And I think by about week five or six, George Marrera actually will be the starting running back. And that's at least judging based off last year's production.
Absolutely. And you know, who knows, maybe it will be kind of like a running back by committee type of deal there with Illinois State. I mean, Marshawn Coppedge having so much success over the past 2 years, 2-3 years. I mean, it's certainly going to be tough to replace that. And like you, I mean, Jamal Towns, I mean, to me at least, he is a bit of a wild card. I mean, as of right now, I mean, it sounds like he's having a pretty solid camp. It sounds like he is the favorite to at least start the season as the starting running back. But, you know, like you, I'm not so sure how confident I am in Jamal Towns being an actual starting running back in the toughest conference in all the FCS in the Missouri Valley. And, you know, just to touch on Jake Colby, I mean, I've only heard good things about him. Really looking forward to seeing the new look offense with him under center. Got to think that with his skill set, it will be more of a pro style offense, and that we will be seeing the ball thrown more than we have in the past there at Illinois State. Now that we touched on the quarterback and running back, Zach, let's talk about senior wide receiver Anthony Warham. I mean, he was also an All-American last year as he reeled in 58 receptions for just under 1,300 yards. Led the Missouri Valley in touchdown receptions with 15, which is also an Illinois State school record. Obviously, it's tough to have a better season than that. But what should we expect out of Warham this season with Colby now under center? I'm sure now being a known commodity, teams will certainly focus on him more than they did last season. But are you expecting him to have a similar impact as a senior?
Well, that's the wild thing is that he had 15 touchdowns last year, and you say, and I agree, that it would be almost impossible to have a better season than last year. But I honestly think he can do it with the new offense, with that offense more geared towards the passing game than the running game. I think he's going to get even more opportunities, especially with a guy like Colby under center to throw to him, who can launch the deep ball, and his accuracy is uncanny. I think that you're going to see Warham get even more opportunities than he did a year ago, which is almost a little bit crazy to say. But because their offense is going to be taking away from the Coppedge, Roberson, Reed option as their offensive centerpiece, I think that you'll be able to see Warham get even more freedom and more time to get more targets. Yeah, you have Christian Gibbs, and if healthy, Nick Griffith could be a breakout candidate this year at receiver. But Warren is unquestionably going to be the top target. And although he is going to get double teamed and have almost all the attention from the secondary, I still think Jake Colby to Anthony Warren is going to be a phrase you hear time and time and time again this year on the way to maybe not breaking records, but getting close.
It'll certainly be one of the better quarterback to wide receiver duos in all the FCS. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially with the positive reports that we're hearing out of camp about Jake Colby and obviously what you shed, from last season. I mean, like you said, that game against Northern Iowa wasn't great, but he was kind of thrown into the fire with just a couple of days to get ready for that. Again, we're chatting with the Illinois State graduate and former editor over at the Vidette, the student voice of Illinois State University, Zach Carpenter, talking ISU Redbirds with me, Chris Schanfeld, here on the CS Podcast presented by the NUC NFL Draft Bible. And, Zach, let's shift our focus now to the defensive side of the ball. Like the offense, but probably even a little bit more, as you mentioned in the opening. I mean, there are some big shoes to fill on the defense. I mean, on the defensive line, the Redbirds will have to replace Teddy Corwin and David Perkins. If that isn't enough, you also got linebacker Pat Meehan missing and defensive back Josh Birch, who were also seniors last year. Who on this defense are a couple of guys that we should look out for?
Well, I'll stick to two big names. Like you said, there's a lot of question marks on the defense, and so far – through camp, I've heard they haven't been looking the best. They're looking a little soft is what I'm hearing. So you're losing those two guys, like you said, David Perkins and Teddy Corwin, along with the leader, Pat Meehan. And one name left off that list was Alex Donnelly, another linebacker, leader, toughness guy. So it's going to be hard to replace those guys. But the two names that I want to throw into the mix are Alec Coker, a starting safety, and Dalton Keene, defensive tackle. Now, Coker, he might be the most talented player on this defense. He might have been the most talented player on the defense last year. But if he stays healthy, that's a big if. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a breakout year. I'm talking all-conference type of performer. He's a very hard-hitting safety, but he always seems to be going down with some type of injury, whether it's major or minor. He had off-season shoulder surgery heading into 2015, and at the tail end of last season, he broke his clavicle in a game against South Dakota State, and that was 2 or 3 weeks before the playoffs. And in that playoff loss against Richmond, it was never more apparent how much they needed Coker. If he can stay healthy, he is going to be the leader on that defense, in the secondary and just the defense entirely, who can maybe take them to the next level and keep things running smoothly with the losses that they have. But Dalton Keene is another guy who I think needs to step up and I think will step up. Talking to Teddy Corwin last year at the end of the year, I asked him who he thought would stand out on the defense, and he threw out a few names, but Dalton Keene was the one that stood out to him. Dalton had 5 sacks and 10 tackles for losses last year, and if he builds on that, which I believe he will, especially with the fact that the two best linemen from last year are gone in Teddy Corwin and David Perkins. If he builds on that year, which I think he will, I don't think they'll miss as much of a beat as many would think.
All right, Coker and Keene. Again, those are some guys. Those are a couple of guys that we're going to have to look out for on the defensive side of the ball for the Redbirds. And like you said, I mean, these are a couple of guys that I wouldn't say they're known commodities, but these are guys that have seen time on the field and have had an impact on the defense in the past. So obviously now their role is going to have to change. They're going to have to pick it up with some of the leaders now missing from the team from last year. And it certainly will be interesting to see how that defense picks it up because, as you said, I mean, you're hearing that they're looking a little soft right now. Hopefully that changes by the time the season starts. And we are just a couple of weeks away from the season opener against Valparaiso. And no disrespect to Valpo, but that should be an easy win. Obviously the game that everybody is looking forward to is Week 5 against North Dakota State at the Fargo Dome. It'll be the first time the two teams square off against each other since the 2014 FCS National Championship game. How many times do you think that game will come up from coaches and players throughout the week of practice? I know that the players now on the team were only freshmen, sophomores, when that 2014 FCS National Championship game went down. But I got to think there's still a little bit of a sour taste in the Redbirds' mouth.
Oh, there's definitely a sour taste, Christian. Especially last year with the game before the semifinals and the quarterfinals was a loss to Richmond. I think a big reason, or maybe not a big reason, but one of the subtle reasons that they lost that game, I think they were looking ahead to a potential rematch with North Dakota State. They want that game. They are not shy or bashful about it. They want sort of revenge. You can't really get revenge for a national title game loss, but they want that. They still have that bad taste in their mouths. That's what the coaching staff and the players talked about all of heading into last year, was that terrible feeling when the buzzer sounded, when the clock hit zero in that national title game. So I think that's going to just give them extra motivation throughout the week. But you won't hear them say it. You will not hear the players say it leading up to the games. The coaches will make sure that they are saying the right things of, well, it's just another game. We're going to go out there and compete like it's any other week in the Valley. It's going to be a tough game. And I'm sure you'll hear Brock say the same thing. But in their minds, that's not going to be just another game. That's going to be at North Dakota State, at the Fargo Dome. Heavy, heavy intensity and passion. They're going to be geared up for that game, and they're going to be tired of hearing it from everybody. All the storylines behind that championship loss. They won't be bashful about it. They're going to be sick and tired of hearing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. And I know that one of their mottos from last season was I forget exactly how many seconds it was from the national championship game, but you know it was like 28 seconds or. You know, 38 seconds. Yeah, 38 seconds was kind of their motto from last season. And then, you know, like you said, I mean, they're really looking forward to that rematch. Hopefully they're in the playoffs. Obviously that didn't happen. Week 5, though, I believe that's October 1st. They'll be taking on NDSU. Couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go, Zach. Really do appreciate your time. Of course, North Dakota State is one of a handful of playoff caliber teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. I mean, this is a conference that had 5 teams represented in the FCS playoffs a year ago, and I don't expect it to be much different this year. I got to ask you, though, before we let you go, I mean, what is your record prediction for the 2016 Illinois State Redbirds football team? And with all the turnover, obviously that's been a big topic in today's show. With all the turnover that this team has suffered, I mean, is it possible that they miss the playoffs?
I don't see them missing the playoffs at all. I do not think that they will have as good of a year as they have had the last 2 years at all. I think there are going to be some growing pains. But look, the weaknesses that the team had last year are now strengths in the offensive line and receivers. And now their strengths last year, knowing what they had at quarterback and running back and their defense, those were strengths last year. And now they can be seen as weaknesses. But I think by midseason, both of those two are going to level out. And I'm sticking with an 8-3 record, 6-2 in the Missouri Valley. But I don't see a 7-4 finish would also not be out of the question. I mean, looking at the schedule, I see a loss at Northwestern after seeing how they played against Iowa, a very, very good Iowa team. But after seeing how they got handled by Iowa last year, I don't see them sticking with the Big Ten team this time around either. I don't think they'll be able to come out of Fargo with a win. Even with all the extra motivation, I still think North Dakota State is going to have their number up in Fargo. And then at Western Illinois, the second to last week of the year, I see them dropping that game. So those are the 3 games I see them losing. I don't see them losing at Hancock this year with the opponents they have, although there's not an easy week in the Missouri Valley. It might be cliche, and they might say it all the time, but the MVC is definitely the SEC of the FCS. So really, on this entire schedule, there's only 2 wins I see where there's no way that they could lose. That's Valpo and Missouri State. I think those are just easy, chalk them up now as wins. And I would put Eastern in that category as well, but after seeing them almost lose to Eastern last year and barely being able to escape with that one, the only reason they won is because Eastern's kicker missed a chip shot field goal at the end and they were able to escape. So now I can't put Eastern in that easy win category. So I see them at 8-3 with a second place finish in the Missouri Valley, depending on how everything else shakes out. But 7-4 would not be out of the question. And luckily for them, they don't see you and I this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm totally with you. I mean, 8-3, 7-4, that sounds very realistic for this Redbirds team. Like you said, I really like their schedule at home at Hancock Stadium. I will say, I think the homecoming game against Youngstown State, I think that's going to be one to watch. I think that might be a really close one that comes down to the wire. And then the following week against Southern Illinois, I'll be interested in seeing that game as well. I think SIU is going to be a really improved team as well. But, yeah, I mean, 7-4, 8-3 certainly sounds realistic. Anyways, final question for you, Zach. Again, really do appreciate your time. I'm curious because you are a recent ISU graduate, and I got to think it's changed quite a bit. But, again, I'm curious, how, if at all, has the excitement grown for the Redbirds football team from your first year at Illinois State to now being a graduate?
You know, it's interesting. I think there's a lot more excitement than there was 4 years ago, obviously. My freshman year, they made the playoffs. They made the second round, first playoff win in years, I believe. And then they had that stinker of a year, 5-6 finish, where they kind of limped around. But the last 2 years really boosted the program. But still, Illinois State is a basketball school. It always has been and always will be. So there's always going to be more excitement surrounding the basketball team, which is a bit of a shame because the football team is a top 10 team. I think as long as Brock Spak is here, they're going to be a national top 10 team every year. But I think the mentality, at least with students, is that it's an FCS school in football, so it may be seen as a lower tier and almost seen as a Division II school in their eyes. So until they're a Division I or an FBS school, there's still going to be that type of mentality, at least in the students' eyes. But overall in the community, I think the community has done a great job of backing this team, this program, and their excitement. I don't think their excitement has ever been higher than it is right now. They are a national favorite now every year, and with those expectations come even higher responsibilities, really. So I think the excitement at ISU around the community as a whole has never been higher.
And another one of the ISU Redbirds mottos is back the birds, and certainly sounds like those in Normal, Illinois have been doing that. And again, it should be a very interesting season for the Redbirds. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Jay Colby and this offense does. They're at Hancock Stadium and, of course, on the road. Zach, really do appreciate your time and knowledge. It really was a pleasure chatting with you, and we're certainly going to have to do it again soon at some point during the season. Any final words before I let you go?
Nope, not right now. I'm sure as soon as I get off here, I'll think of a couple more things to say, but I think we covered everything.
I think so. Well, thank you again for giving us a call this afternoon. Again, you guys can follow Zach on Twitter at ZCarp11. Be sure to follow me at Chris Shanafell. And, of course, log on to NFLDraftBible.com. Use the 30-day free promo code Draft2016. Again, Draft2016 for a 30-day free trial, NFLDraftBible.com. Zach, thanks again for calling in. A great conversation talking Illinois State Redbirds football. Until next time, everybody, take care.